Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat.
Hello.
The producer of VFN Radio, and Chris.
Hello.
Hopefully you get a chance to share this hour on the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Also, Duck Dynasty. I think they're like topping their ratings. They were at the press conference with the president. He even got pointed out and was standing in line to shake the bearded man's hand.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. All the way from Monroe, Louisiana. Barefoot millionaires for Jesus.
Amazing.
And so much more. If you missed the first hour, you got to catch it. We were talking about the preamble, the original 10 of America, the preamble of the Constitution. We're going to begin having fun, but also learning what is this that they're trying to destroy. What is it? Oh, my goodness. We find out it's about freedom and justice and prosperity and all these things that God has blessed us with and allowed us to have. Why would you want to change that? Why would you want to change that? And so much more. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And the producer of VFN Radio, Pat Hamilton, will be joining us. And Chris. The Bearded Duck Dynasty guys. All the way from the woods. I mean, God has so blessed them. And you know, it's just such an authentic appears to be, you know, folks who just love God and are not going to compromise on their profession of faith. And if you've missed Duck Dynasty, there's a reason why it is so popular. It's because it is hilarious.
Yeah.
It is just hilarious. And but what's so cool about it, these are a Christian family, that extended family too, not mm-hmm. just immediate, that been blessed with, God's blessed their business, mm-hmm. and they're perceived millionaires based off of a whistle,
yeah, right.
A duck call, and these poor ducks, right? Like, man, don't listen to any of that's not real ducks. That's not real ducks. You're going down if you respond to that whistle.
All right, right.
And but they end every one of their hilarious programs, shows, or whatever, with just acknowledging God, eating around a table mm-hmm. as a family, and not only just praying to God, but praying and thanking Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, originally they edited out
yeah.
Jesus and the father.
Bill, yeah.
Bill. The Kentomites, you know what I'm saying? They're just into the
yeah.
camouflage yeah. shoes.
We're like this.
Yeah, right, right. And he said, he says, what is, don't think so.
Yeah. He said he wasn't going to do it.
He wasn't going to do it because, and this is, you got to stand up for God and his son, Jesus Christ. Understand the only way to God is through Jesus. You deny Jesus, you've denied eternity with God. There's no other way to God.
Right.
And I just love that. But listen, this is CBN News, and they're sharing about what happened with him, but also the testimony of Phil, and we can so relate to his journey. Listen up.
Lee.
Pat, a show about a somewhat eccentric family, their Christian faith, and duck calls is cable TV's top-rated reality show. The season finale of Duck Dynasty even beat out American Idol with young viewers. Jennifer Wishon sat down with the stars of Duck Dynasty, Willie and Corey Robertson.
Meet the Robertson clan. They turned duck calls into a multi-million dollar empire.
The shenanigans of the bearded Robertson men and their pretty wives as they run the family duck call business send viewers flocking to their televisions.
It was so fast we didn't have time to really pay attention to what was happening and how big it was, and I think you kind of get there and you're like, holy cow.
Willie and Corey run the business and were CBN's guests at this year's White House Correspondents' Dinner. Each episode of Duck Dynasty ends with the family praying and breaking bread together.
I think that's the most important thing about the show, and, you know, we absolutely love that the you know, A&E kept that in the show and allowed people to see that part about our family, because, you know, at the end of the day, it is all about sitting down and thanking God for your blessings. Hopefully it's a message to Hollywood that America wants more of that because of the reception that we've gotten. I mean, we hear it all over all over the place that they love that part of the show.
The Robertson family almost took a different path when Father Phil struggled with alcohol and caring for his young family.
He wasn't just away from the Lord, he was just horribly away, and so he did a bunch of horrible things that were just terrible. And you know, for my mom to stick with him through all that was incredible.
At one point, while on a drinking binge, he told Miss Kay to take their children and leave. She did, but eventually Phil came back.
Yes!
He really just went 100% for the Lord and started reading his Bible every day and wanted to teach and wanted to preach and really wanted to turn that around. And so it's very impactful for us as kids to see that type of change. You know, that faith ended up being what was the best thing about our show, I think, was the faith that he brought. And so, you know, instilled that in us, and then we instilled it in our families. And I think that's how it's supposed to work.
Here comes Willie. Here he goes.
Now it's hard for any of the Robertsons to go anywhere without being recognized. They say their godly values help keep them grounded. Their recipe for success is faith, family, and ducks, and people can't get enough of it. As for the beards and long hair...
I was telling Dad at the airport, I said, well, you know, whenever we get done with this, we can always just shave our beards and cut our hair, and we'll be able to walk through, and they'll know who you are. So we have that out.
Jennifer Wishon, CBN News.
That's great. Pat, I understand they were big stars at the White House Correspondents' Dinner last weekend. Know. The president wanted to meet them.
That's so good that seeing these guys. You got to go to the VFN Torch and watch this video. This, I just look at these guys and I laugh. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, they're a mess.
And, of course, we do that with each other, too. So I guess that it's just something. Yeah. I don't know. But you got to see. It's actually on A&E. And it's something you can watch without... You know, your family can watch. You don't have to worry about being sad, but they have some fun with it. And you might not learn the work ethic. It's one thing you probably won't learn the work ethic.
No, not at all.
But the truth is they're obviously playing around. They've got people working behind the scenes, building the product and all that. And but it's hilarious. You got to check it out. It's on A&E, it's Duck Dynasty. You can just check your programming near you. And let's support those who stand up for God. And like they said, that maybe this will show those who are in media that this is where America wants to go, because they beat their ratings, beat out all these different popular whatevers. And it just good, funny humor and loving and not all overly religious. Yeah. And just freedom in God. Mm-hmm. And pretty hilarious. The Psy moments.
Psyisms.
Thiasms. Oh, totally.
That's a fact, Jack.
That's a fact, Jack. Now, and also in regards to Psy, you might have to explain to your children, well, yeah, I think he's just playing around or he has issues that happened in Vietnam. We're not sure.
Yeah, something happened.
He tripped over his green.
You know, he's actually married. I couldn't believe it when I heard that.
To a person?
A woman. For a long time.
I'm sure. Yeah, it's just probably just funny. He's one of those uncles. You know what I'm saying? This is Uncle Psy. But getting back to God's News Behind the News, I want to be able to share with you quickly about CBS News is reporting that the World Bank is saying they have a plan to eliminate world poverty in 6 years. Think about it. In 6 years to eliminate world poverty. And they report that there's an estimated 1 billion people today who live on a dollar a day. That's 1/6 of the world's population.
Amazing.
We talk about this, but just to share it in the context that our poorest in America is richer than 80% of the world. You know, what does this mean? You're really seeing what very well, you know, what we wouldn't do by choice. Maybe the Lord's about to allow to happen by force.
Mm-hmm.
And where people talk about redistribution of wealth, if you're making a dollar a day, you know, let's empower you. Hey, let's get a constitution like America over your country.
Mm-hmm.
Let's teach you about a republic and a democracy, not a democratic government, but a democracy. That's a republic.
Mm-hmm.
And but if they're gonna do that in 6 years, let me just kind of give you a prophetic unction here. That means the money that America has is gonna be passed out like. you know, whatever to the world. The money in America is going to be handed out around the world. It's already been done, you know, as we're seeing our current leadership do. You know, send money to Brazil, China, Syria, Egypt, you know, all these different areas. And he ran on redistribution of wealth. But what we don't understand in America is, because in America we think, that's right, I'm poor, you know, I need that money redistributed to me. But what Americans don't know is, like, our poorest is richer than 80% of the world. Ultimately, it looks like all of America's wealth will be, it looks like it, I can't tell you this definitely, it's going to be, if this is allowed to happen, to redistribute around based on their determinations of where it should go. You know, if George Soros gets his way, he's like, these are boundaries, these walls and stuff need to come down, and we need to be able to have a one-world society. And it's like, you're freaky, dude. You're just freaky, you know. And it's one-world government, one-world economy.
Yeah.
And he's trying to ease down the European Union, just like they've already fallen, but we're just taking down the just step by step. And it's like, that's the European Union. I mean, that's where the all this... You know, the end time leaders, and it's like, wow, it's all happening in our presence so, so fast. And it wasn't just on Star Trek, Star Wars. But understand that if 97% of the church is not even giving God his tithes and offerings, according to George Barna, that means, and you think about what Amy said to John, you know, Amy from South Korea, when she bought, they bought him her a hamburger in New York when they were sitting there having a meal. And she's been saved about 2 days. And she, as the public relations person for the person who ran for president in South Korea. So obviously she's not just somebody who doesn't know what's going on. And she, the mindset of South Koreans, according to her, is that Americans wouldn't do anything like that for anybody.
Wow. That's sad.
It's like, oh my goodness.
What an indictment.
Yeah. But but despite what America does, there's enough self-professing Christians in America that we could have made a statement if we weren't robbing from God. You know, you should be reaching out. There's so many tragic things happening in the world. You should, you know, be bringing your tithe, 10% of your increase, to where you're being fed. Where you're being fed into the storehouse of God, where you're being fed the spiritual food. Not necessarily where you're building a wing on something, but where you're where you're being fed. And then there's offerings that we're giving to God, and that you can't outgive God. And he that lends to the poor lends to God. And it's like, really? Somebody that close to running for president of South Korea, who our fathers fought to free? That's your perspective of us? What have we done wrong? What have we done wrong? That it, somebody says, well, we sent a lot of foreign aid. But ever how that is communicated to people, by the time it gets there, they don't see it as the American people doing it for some reason. And something as simple as a hamburger, you know, granted it was a New York burger, more expensive, that it just touched her heart. And, oh, give you a shout out this morning, Amy. I appreciate you sharing that with us, and we want to apologize for that. But I really believe the church is about to wake up, and the biggest giving force will be those who have the blessings of Abraham, that that we will not be borrowers, but we'll be lenders. We'll be able to give to others. And if you're stuck in a place and you foresee what the World Bank, according to CBS News, is reporting, that they're going to eliminate world poverty, make sure you're ahead of that and begin to give to others. Begin to see people in your own community that need help. Start with being right before God in the area of his tithe, and know that he says he'll open up the floodgates of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't even contain. No matter what happens, if you're right with God in that area, you have this peace about it. But the enemy, you know, is going to just clamp you down if you're robbing from God. And that's what he says in Malachi. He says, you're robbing. How are we robbing for you? They said, maybe that's what you just said. He said, in tithes and offerings. Listen, it's time to free up what's God's so that he'll continue to have released to us the things that he has released to us. But he says, and we're going to be releasing this week on VFN TV, this generation, I don't know if it's ready to be released yet. Yeah. Oh, go to VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com. And today it's going to be released. And on your menu, now, this is VFN Radio you're listening to. So go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you,
mm-hmm.
but he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. But I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope. And God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFN TV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back.
What can be done when an employer requires that you work on a Sunday? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work for the Department of Transportation in California, and this year we're not being allowed to have a Sunday or Monday off.
Was there anybody that could, is there, in a situation where you've got worship, say, on Sunday, is there somebody else at your place of employment that can work for you?
Yes, sir, there is.
Well, if that's the case, then they're supposed to give a reasonable accommodation of your sincerely held religious belief, including worshiping on Sunday. And let me get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we're going to give you some help on this situation right away, because you should not have any difficulty in that regard.
The American Center for Law and Justice is here to defend our religious liberties. Learn more about the American Center for Law and Justice on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to PFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. I don't know if you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast.
Talk to us.
The podcast for VFN TV, the daily radio program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released, the highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you to encourage you, but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining us is Pat and John. The fear of the Lord.
You mean Chris?
Oh, hey, Chris. Yeah.
yeah. Sorry about that.
We're all about the same height and all that.
Right now.
I just don't need to, you know. Anyway, so the.
Moving on.
The good ship. Lollipops. That's good.
Like I heard that recently.
Yeah, right. Or Munchkins play or something like that. Anyway, so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. And if you want wisdom, if you're looking for wisdom, it's going to have to start with the fear of the Lord, not just getting a whole bunch of knowledge. Because if, in fact, you're already struggling not to have, you don't have wisdom, and you just try to get knowledge, now you're going to be prideful and unwise, you know, because you got knowledge, because knowledge pops up. But if you ask God for wisdom, and he tells us in James that he gives it liberally, but it begins with a fear of the Lord, a fear of the Lord. And I mean,
yeah, it's powerful. I mean, as we were sharing last week about the fear of the Lord, you know, John Bevere's book, powerful.
Oh, I
encourage anybody who hasn't read it yet to definitely get it. And I've read it before, but I'm just, you know, it's just like brand new again. God is just so, you know that God has not changed.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, he has not changed.
Right, right.
He's the same
yesterday,
today, and forever.
Yes.
And we talked about, you know, last week about, you know, Nadab and Abihu, how they, you know, irreverently brought this offering before God, and God dealt with them severely. Well,
dead.
You're thinking, yeah, dead is a doornail.
Say, God doesn't do that anymore.
Well, guess what?
It's what he does. We're like, oh my goodness.
You say, well, that was OT. That, you know, we're in grace and all that kind of stuff. Well,
as we're performing a funeral, we're going like, I guess it still applies.
Yeah.
We're bow our heads. We're here to, remember Ananias.
And Sapphira.
And Sapphira and Eli.
Yep.
Pray for his sight to come back.
Exactly. You know, read it in Book of Acts. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, and believe it or not, again, it had to do with an offering.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Sure you enough. Know, irreverently, they brought an offering because they, first, let me back up a little bit. You know, as we were talking about, you know, God's order of things, he brings order, which is God's pattern of things. Then he brings his glory because there's order. And then if things go awry, then there's judgment.
Right.
Because God's glory cannot, you know, sin and God's glory don't mix.
Right.
One of them's got to go. Either he'll leave or you will.
Right.
One or the other.
Or repent and then get back in order again.
Exactly.
Because God's justice is about order.
Absolutely.
And so repentance would be to get back in his order again.
Absolutely. You know, and God's desire is to dwell in his people. You know, from the beginning, when God created the earth, you know, he dwelt with Adam and Eve and things were just awesome. And then the fall. And ever since then, he's been trying to get back in a relationship with us. So then he brought the tabernacle in the desert with Moses, and he established that pattern. Then with Solomon in the temple, and then he brought, you think about John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus, and then Jesus prepared the way by his sacrifice where we can have a relationship with God now. because his ultimate goal is to dwell in us. He wants a relationship with us, which just blows my mind how desperately he wants to be with us.
He didn't want to be in the tent. He didn't want to be in the building. He wanted to be in us.
In us.
Don't you know that you are the temple of God, that Christ, God's Spirit dwells inside of you? We're the tabernacle.
That's right.
God tabernacles with us.
That's right.
Powerful.
And then, Jesus, his sacrifice and he rose from the dead. And then when he came back, he told the disciples, says, look, wait for me. Wait for the Comforter. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send you the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. In Jerusalem, don't leave.
Right.
Well, he appeared for 500 different people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they waited. Some gave up and they left.
Right.
And it got down to the 120 that were left in the upper room.
Jesus, down to 120.
Yeah. And then
he must have missed God. That's what they would say.
Yeah, right, right.
Which is not true.
And because of their faithfulness to stand and do what God said to do.
Right.
They waited.
Right.
And the promise came.
Suddenly.
The glory of God showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Signs, wonders. I mean, things. This was just powerful move of God, to the point where even, Peter's shadow was healing the sick, right. When they would lay the sick out in the streets. And just things were just moving and just God's glory was manifesting. And then you get Ananias and Sapphira.
Right.
And they get familiar with all that.
Yep. I'm familiar with
it. They see Barnabas is getting all this attention. And
yeah.
By bringing this offering, they said, well, obviously they were.
Their motives were totally different.
Motives were totally messed up. And they bring an offering from some land they sold. And it was theirs to do what they wanted. But, they thought that they could just lie to Peter, not realizing they were lying to God, the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And God dealt with that.
Right. Individually. Which shows, too, that, first Ananias came and he lied to God and God dealt with him. And then Sapphira came alone. So often people just say, well, my spouse, it's my spouse's fault because I'm married. I wouldn't have done this. And it's like she could have told the truth.
Right.
God would have rewarded her for telling the truth at that point. And she didn't. Right?
That's right.
And they didn't have Texas or anything. It seemed like her tell. Hey, don't just tell God it is.
That's right. So obviously God is the same. That was the New Testament.
Right.
This is the beginning days of the church.
A little context there too to help you out that what happened was, like you say, Barnabas just loved God and wanted to be able to help finance what God was doing and just sold some land and gave it. And obviously, people talked positively about him, and they liked the idea. So they sold the same thing, kind of sold some land. They thought, well, we don't want to give it all. But we want to tell everybody to give it all. So they sat around the kitchen. Obviously, the kitchen table, but over the pot. And said, let's just say we gave it all, and let's keep half of it. They could have kept all of it.
Yeah.
At least 90% of it, I guess. But they just said they want to make men feel like they were. And there's so many people that they're more worried about. They want to be lifted up in men's eyes, not understanding that God's eyes are the only ones that matter.
That's just that.
You know what I'm saying? And they went. That's what they did. So they went and they connived this whole thing because they wanted to be in leadership and thought of big in the eyes of men. Mm-hmm. And they didn't realize it was the church is God's.
Yeah.
Well,
listen to this powerful quote. Yeah. You mentioned that. They desired the praises of man more than the praises of God.
Mm.
It says, if you desire the praises of man, you will fear man.
Yeah.
If you fear man, you will serve him. If you serve, or you serve what you fear.
Mm.
But their eyes, obviously, all they wanted was recognition of man, not realizing they were lying in God's face.
Which is and it's amazing. It's like, really? Yeah. I mean,
No fear.
No fear. But it's like, really? I mean, don't you realize the only reason that we're doing what we're doing is for God? It's like the organizational chart I always talk about. It's like a flat organizational chart or a pancake chart.
Mm-hmm.
We all report directly to God,
mm-hmm.
even though we have different giftings and different functions in the body, that we're all personally held accountable to God. We may be under some authority in the church,
mm-hmm.
but you're directly responsible and accountable to God for that.
Mm-hmm.
So to rebel against Peter would be rebel against God,
mm-hmm.
because God established Peter in that particular place, right? That's what he said. He said, mm-hmm. so to lie to Peter is to lie to God.
That's right.
And so many people don't understand, why is all this happening to me? is in their mind, they're thinking, there's no big deal. I just lied to Pastor so-and-so. I just lied to Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so. And like Moses looking at Miriam, they're going like, what did you do? What happened? Mm-hmm. And they're not being honest because it feels kind of bad to go, I was just trying to lift myself up. And people don't normally do that, right? Mm-mm. I was just trying to lift myself up and you think highly of me. I wanted a brick with my name on it put in the wall where people could see it forever. Mm-hmm. And those type of things versus, you know, but yeah, it was no fear, was it?
Mm-mm. And that's the whole point was our sacrifices are worthless if not accompanied with the love of God and a fear of God. They mean nothing.
Right.
They mean nothing.
You think about the lady who, when Jesus was, people say, well, the Lord's not into that. Well, it talks about finances in the Word of God more than you can imagine. The reason I believe why is because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. Ever how you handle your finances in regards to the context of what God says about them is where your heart is, and God's after your heart, and so he's not after your money. Mm-hmm. But then you think about how much fear of God that the poor lady who gave everything that she had, which is 2 copper coins, and she put it, and Jesus is watching it happen. And she had a fear of the Lord because she believed that God could provide for her. Mm-hmm. You know, give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And it's so much easier to give out of your poverty than out of your wealth.
Wow.
And people say, well, you know, if I get $1 million, you know, I'm going to be faithful to God. But right now I need this 10 bucks. And it's like, well, you're never going to have more than, you know, it's you're never going to lose that. What you have is going to be taken from you. Or they think about the lady with Elijah and the widow that, you know, she had just a little bit left, a little bit of meal left, a little bit of oil left. And she had to decide, am I going to fear man or am I going to fear God? Right. And you, whatever you obey, you fear, you know? And so if you obey God, that's a fear of God. It's not like, it's not this terrified, I'm scared of God thing. It's just, I believe God. And so Elisha tells her, you know, what are you doing? She says, well, I'm just about to prepare the last Bisquick mix with a with milk.
Right.
No, a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil, and I'm going to make some flapjacks. No, make some a little a cake and a bread for us, and then we're going to die. Mm-hmm. And so he tells her, first, before you do that, this is so important. If you're going to honor God, you have a fear of God, he's got to come first in your life. He's not talking about everything. He's talking about first. And you know how that is. I mean, if somebody says they love you and you're always last, are you really loved? And so if God's really loved, he's always first in our life. He's not saying he wants everything. It's all his already. He wants to know if we will put him first. And so he said, first, I want you to make for me some bread, and then for you. And she's already said it. We're going to make our last piece of meal and die.
Yeah.
And so you had to decide then, am I going to fear what I see? Am I going to fear this famine? Am I going to fear this economy? Am I going to fear what's happening right now in America? You know, am I going to fear a lack and not having enough? Or am I going to fear God? And right now, when you see 97%, according to George Barna, are not fearing God at all in America because they're not giving God his first, the tithe.
Right.
And so that says that there's no fear of God, which means there's no wisdom. And she had to make a choice. And what's so cool is it didn't matter what anybody else in Zarephath did. She all alone could fear God. And God would take care of her. So she took what would have been her last, and she fixed that meal for the man of God, the prophet. Which, by the way, you're not doing anybody any good if you're editing what God says. If God tells you that you're supposed to tell them that they're supposed to give an offering, and you don't, you blew it for her because it wasn't about you. That's not humility. That's pride. You should not even been in the equation. If God says that she needs to fear the Lord so she can be blessed, and you think, oh, that's going to make me look bad because I tell her that she needs to honor God with the tithes and the offerings, then all of a sudden she's going to eat her last meal and die because she never understood, and you should have taught her, that you put God first. It's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
And so he told her that. And how difficult is that to do? How difficult is that to do when, in fact, you know, you got all this calamity around you, this financial collapse around you, and they're saying this is the last thing that they have. And it's not for you to edit. And so you just deliver what God says, and you help people follow God. And ever how it happens, it happens. And God knows their heart. You know, some people think of, well, if I give this, then it's going to be like a slot machine, and you know it's going to be like it pays mm-hmm. off. Or I'm going to give, and somehow this institution called the church is going to take care of me. It's like that's not it. God just begins to take care of you, and so she does it, and this is what happens to her. She doesn't die, but her oil never ran out, and her meal it just never ran out. It just kept on. Mm-hmm. You know, he says, you know, get all these jars together and God filled them all. Mm-hmm. He filled them all, you know, which is when you understand that we are the jars, we're the lamps. And as many people as you will tell about God, God will fill them and God will take care of you in that. And she never went without. She never right. went without. And I can attest to that, just be faithful to God. I mean, you'll go through times of testing. You'll go through all those different things that happen in life. And being Americans, you know, just enough is not quite enough quite often for Americans, but just enough is just enough. Mm-hmm. And that's a wonderful place to be when most of the world, I mean, think about it. They're saying 1 billion people live on $1 a day.
Wow.
You know, and just enough in America is quite a bit.
That's amazing.
And they never ran out. She never ran out. But that's a fear of God. She had to decide, am I going to fear all my circumstances? Am I going to fear what's going on? Or am I going to fear God? And if you obey God with a right heart, then that's fearing God. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back. I don't know if you actually found out about our newsletter. We have a newsletter, and it's called The Torch. And what this is about, it's about sending you and our listeners who subscribe to it on a weekly basis or biweekly or monthly, whichever one you desire, just let us know, what happened during that week. So many things happen in our life. We get so busy, and sometimes we forget or we want to share with our friends. Well, you can sign up today. You can subscribe today for The Torch. The Torch is the newsletter for the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that we send out to you in your email an update. What happened that week? What happened with some of the segments that happened on VFN Radio? What were some of the things that were loosed on VFN TV? What's happening prophetically? It'll come to you in your email if you sign up for The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on subscribe and sign up for The Torch today so we can keep you informed tomorrow. That's VFNTV.com. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and Chris. Listen, we're going to go into the ninth part of the 10-part interview by Sid Roth, interviewing Tom Horn and Chris Putnam, authors of the book Petros Romanos and Exo Vaticana. And in these books, these investigative books, that every part of what they're saying has been sourced. So you can go back and check the sources on it. And we encourage you to do that. We're just making this available to you, and you can get it in its entirety at sidroth.org. We just wanted you to hear it because it totally converges with so many things the Lord has been telling us and telling a lot of our brothers. And you know what God has said is going to come to pass, how it's going to unfold, we begin to see how it begins to unfold. But one of the things that's happening is these guys wrote the book, Petros Romanos, and they said in the book that Pope Benedict would step down in around March of 2012, and people thought, well, he didn't. Well, March of 2013, he openly says he's stepping down, but they find out that he did officially step down in March of 2012. Mm-hmm. And they used that whole year to be able to set up for this next pope. And this is like 400 years since this has ever happened. Mm-hmm. And it's fulfilling a 900-year-old prophecy called the Malachi prophecy. And that in itself means a lot to us in the context of it. And just listen up. So Sid Roth is interviewing Tom Horn and Chris Putnam about these books. Listen up.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall is separation between Jew and Gentile. It's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest is red hot for the Messiah, Tom Horn, co-author of the brand new book, Exo Vaticana, this is mind-blowing. I mean, if you thought things were speeding up before, and they were, everything's on just such a rapid pace for the wrapping up of the late great planet Earth. For instance, did you notice when they announced that the Pope was retiring of what happened at the Vatican? Tom, you saw that lightning, that light that was right over the Vatican. Tell me about that.
Isn't that extraordinary? February 11th, just a couple of weeks ago now, three, 4 weeks ago now, lightning struck St. Peter's Basilica twice immediately on the resignation of Pope Benedict the 16th. Now, of course, could have been coincidental, but lightning is something that in sacred literature always carries spiritual connotations. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's evil. Like when Jesus referred to Satan as falling like lightning in Luke 10:18. And you know, Sid, I couldn't help but think that the timing of those two lightning bolts on that particular building at Vatican City at that exact time following Benedict's resignation, I mean, my gut feeling, and I could be wrong, but I thought it was beyond mathematical probability of chance. First of all, it was two bolts. Don't forget that, you know, what we talked about earlier this week, two central figures of end times prophecy, the false prophet and the Antichrist. They're described in the book of Revelation as being able to call down fire like lightning from heaven. And this is not just an evangelical speaking. There are some Catholics right now, some of the known leaders in Catholicism right now that have the same reasoning. In fact, one of the most highly visited Catholic sites is run by a guy I know. He's communicated with me off and on over the years. He reads my books and websites on a regular basis. But he, you know, went on to this major Catholic website and started telling Catholics, look, the lightning that struck St. Peter's Basilica some days ago, I mean, this was not chance. This was something else.
I've got Chris Putnam on the telephone, best-selling author of the books we've been talking about all this week. And, Chris, you talk about the visions that many people have heard about at Fatima, Portugal. How does that tie in with UFOs?
Well, we have to remember that we're talking about the year 1917. So this was, you know, long before terminology like flying saucer and UFO were in the vocabulary. But if you look at the descriptions of what the crowd saw that day in 1917 in Fatima, it really sounds remarkably similar to what, you know, we would call a UFO today. You know, it's called the miracle of the sun, but I don't think anyone really believes that the sun actually danced in the sky. I mean, just the laws of physics would dictate, You know, if the sun moved, it would actually toss the earth all around, and the whole world would see it. You know, so it's pretty clear that it wasn't actually the sun. But, I mean, I'll just read. Here's some descriptions from some of the eyewitnesses. They say, a weird disk that turns rapidly on its own axis and casts off beams of colored light in all directions. Shafts of red light shot out from the rim of the sun and colored clouds, the earth, the trees, and the people with shafts of violet, yellow, blue. So what you have is a spinning disk in the sky that's, you know, throwing off colors. And this is what people saw in the sky, and they call this the miracle of the sun, I think mainly because as it, you know, zigzagged around in the sky, it kind of disappeared into the sun, flew into the sun as it went away, and then the people realized that the rain had stopped because they had been standing in the rain. So, I mean, this has all the telltale signs of what, you know, most people would call a UFO sighting today. If I saw a silver disc spinning around in the sky, I just don't think that that was in the vocabulary back in 1917. And then you have, you know, the words of these children who said that they were channeling Mary, and that's really, you know, why it got associated with the Catholic dogmas.
I really am not that knowledgeable of it, but I thought everyone saw Mary and heard her words.
No. The way that the Marian apparition typically works, and this is the case with all of the cases I've studied, is that it usually picks children, usually young children under 10 years old, and it's basically the same as channeling. These children hear Mary's voice, and they're the only ones that hear it, and they write down what Mary allegedly says. So basically you have some impressionable youngsters, usually, that, you know, supposedly get these messages from Mary, and then the signs in the sky or whatever that seem to authenticate it have nothing to do with Mary. You know, they're usually something like this.
Now, tell me about the Pope that saw those same flying objects and then came with some revolutionary conclusions about the mother of Jesus, Mary.
Well, that's one of the things that not too many people know about, but the Pope that actually, you know, when they have an apparition like Fatima, they have an approval process where the church kind of rubber stamps it as an official thing that Catholics can't believe. Now, the Pope that did that for Fatima was Pius XII, who was the Pope during World War II. And what not too many people know is that in 1950, he was thinking of promulgating a doctrine they call the Assumption of Mary. Now, this is a really kind of a strange doctrine that he did end up promulgating, that Mary ascended into heaven, just like we read Jesus doing in the book of Acts. But Pius XII says that the day that he was thinking of defining this doctrine, of writing it down, that he saw the same thing happen over the Vatican Gardens. And in fact, he wrote this in a note that on 4 p.m. October 30th, 1950, while he was taking a walk in the Vatican Gardens, that he saw an opaque sphere surrounded by a luminous circle, and it twisted and rotated all around in the sky, spinning, throwing out colors, the same sort of disc shape object, you know, with the same sort of phenomenon that people described at Fatima. And this was in 1950, you know, 37 years later. And he used this as his inspiration to go ahead and to promulgate this doctrine of the Assumption. So, you know, in a very real way, we have an unidentified aerial phenomenon sort of inspiring a pope to, you know, create new doctrines that all Catholics are supposed to believe.
Now, what about all of the sightings of the UFOs over the Vatican?
Well, there have been quite a few, and that was one of the things that I tried to do just to see what was going on with this, is that there are some very interesting correlations of UFO sightings and events within the Catholic Church. One of the most, I think, compelling is the year 1978. it's a famous year for the papacy because it's the year of three popes. This is when Paul VI died, and then they elected John Paul I, and he only lived 33 days. And then they elected John Paul II, who is the famous pope that most of us probably remember really well. But, you know, what a lot of people don't know is that during that brief reign of John Paul I, he was only pope 33 days, there was a massive outbreak of UFO sightings over Rome. Now, this is, you know, not just some obscure UFO reports. This actually made the New York Times news service. And, you know, it was seen by airport officials, policemen verified this, officials at the Vatican saw it. So it's not just a, you know, an obscure kind of fringe sort of story. It actually made the United States papers in 1978. And I have reproduced a clipping from the New York Times news service verifying all these facts.
Now, what is the Vatican plan for the arrival of a UFO God with a small g?
What we uncovered in the process of our research is that several theologians from the Vatican have written some statements that seem to be making allowances for the existence of extraterrestrials, even, you know, making allowances for adapting theology, you know, to amalgamate the revelations that might come with these new beings, which is really kind of troubling to me given the Vatican's track record of revision already. The Vatican II process that happened in the 1960s, they kind of had, they adopted this idea of the anonymous Christian, where people from different faiths could actually come in and be saved without even knowing Christ. So when you think about somebody that's willing to adapt things to that extent, dealing with something from outside of this world, they don't have a particularly good track record. So I think that they're wide open to a deception. What we are thinking is that there's going to be a ruse, you know, a ruse by supernatural forces who claim to be extraterrestrials. Now, with these kind of theological constructs...
I tell you what, we're out of time, but I'm going to tell you, you will not understand end times without these two books.
These books are available right now at sidroth.org, or you can find out more on the VFN Torch at vfntv.com and click on the torch. But the books are Exo Vaticana and Petros Romanus, which actually documents what's going on. The big thing that we're actually sensing and hearing is this is a convergence of so many things going on. I'm looking right now, and you can see this on the torch. At the lightning, The day that openly they made the statement, and everything was in order, obviously, at that point, because they spent a whole year, according to what these guys are saying, preparing for who the next pope was, and he was going to step down from being the pope, Benedict was, and the new pope, Pope Francis, was going to come in. It doesn't happen that way. Normally you die, and then they come together, and which is unpredictable, unless you do it yourself. And this, they planned for an entire year for him to come. But the day he openly told everybody, lightning struck St. Peter's Basilica. And you can see it. You can see this bolt come down. And so when you think about when Isaiah talks about that he saw Satan thrown, cast down like lightning, that it happened at that time. But obviously there's a lot of prophecy in what Isaiah is saying. Was that the day that Satan was cast down to earth from second heaven? Because this is what he told Jesus. He said, if you bow down and worship me, first of all, he's talking to Jesus. And he says, all these kingdoms were given to me, and I can give them to whoever I want to, and I'll give them to you. And Jesus, of course, said, you know, don't think so.
Right.
And but the day that Pope Benedict stepped down publicly, that was the moment, and you got to see this, you got to share this. That's the moment that the lightning hit St. Peter's Basilica. At that moment, at the very peak of, it's like, was it that the moment
that Satan was cast from second heaven down to earth?
Mm.
You remember that when Judas was with Jesus, he was Judas. He had open doors, obviously, in his life. But there was a moment that Satan entered Judas. You remember that?
Oh,
when
yeah.
He took the bread. It says, then Satan entered Judas. And was that the moment that Satan entered into what's about to happen in these last days? You got to find out about all this. Go to the VFN.com, VFNTV.com, and click on the torch and listen to each of these interviews. We're going to have the last part of this 10-part interview. Get the books. Find out for yourself. I'm going to understand this in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the Lord is going to come back for his church, but you got to make sure you're the church. That it's not a building. It's not going to come back for your organization. It's going to come back for believers, people that make Jesus the Lord of their life, that says, I am going to follow you wherever you want me to go. I'm going to do what you ask of me. I'm going to listen to your teachings, and I'm going to follow your teachings because I love you. And out of that, fruit's going to come out of my life. I'm going to be an authentic branch on you, Jesus, the vine, as the Father gardens his vineyard. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.